There are a number of challenges that present themselves to the church. Tonight I want to talk to you about one that I consider to be of extreme importance. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The nourishment that one receives from the word of God allows us to grow spiritually, and in this way we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. To grow in knowledge, of course, is to be better informed in the doctrine of Christ, and it is this knowledge or information that allows us to advance and mature as the children of God. It's easy to observe the growth of a baby or a little child. We do that, of course, by measuring them and by weighing them and by watching them as they develop. But the real question is, how can we know we have grown spiritually? Most of us, when we're baptized or close to being grown or physically are grown, how do we know that as a child of God we're growing from day to day? I say that's one of the greatest needs the church has, because if we do not grow, then obviously we don't progress as the Bible indicates that we need to do. And so I ask you the question this evening, what kind of behavior or conduct gives evidence of spiritual growth? I know when a baby's growing. I know that. You do too. I know when my children and grandchildren are growing. I know that. But how do I know you're growing? How do you know you're growing? And how do I know that I am growing? Let me say, first of all, I believe we can know we have grown when we no longer measure ourselves by other people. You know, unfortunately, there are some who seek only to be better than someone else. In such cases, Christ no longer becomes our standard, and we become satisfied with the average. If we're measuring ourselves by someone who may not be growing like they should, even though we may exceed them to some degree, that is no evidence at all that we're growing like we ought to. In fact, so long as we're as good or better than others, we seem to be satisfied with that. Sometimes people say, well, I'll tell you this, I give just as much as he does, or I'm there just as much as he is. I may not be there all the time, but I'm certainly there as much as he is. Are we as devoted as we ought to be? Is there any evidence in the life we live that we actually started growing after we were baptized and we continue to grow as long as we live? I believe the Lord has always demanded service that excels the average. I don't believe God's satisfied with the average. I don't believe the Lord expects us to just be average. He expects us to be better than that. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was expecting more than the average. He expected his followers and his disciples to rise above that. In the same sermon, Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 47 as a direct challenge, "What do ye more than others?" And that's a good question we all need to ask ourselves. When we talk about the condition of the church or where it's headed or what we're going to do, what do ye more than others? Have we actually grown? Have we taken a personal interest in the fact that we're going to be better this next year than we were last? Paul taught the danger on one occasion of measuring ourselves by other people. He said, "For we're not bold to number or compare ourselves with certain of them that commend themselves, but they themselves, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves with themselves, are without understanding." Paul was merely saying right here, if you're as good as somebody else, that may be true, but that may not be good enough. In fact, if you're measuring yourself by what someone else does and are satisfied to be just a little bit better than they are, that's the wrong measuring tool and that's the wrong approach. Other people are not our standard. Doesn't matter how good you are, you're not my standard. The Lord is our standard, and I have to grow in harmony with His will. To compare ourselves with someone else really misses the point. It really does. It misses the point altogether for any of us to say, I'm as good as he is, I do as much as he does, and I'm as interested as he is. In fact, when we do that, we give evidence of the fact that we're not growing like we should. And you're not growing if that's your measuring reed tonight. You need to take another look. Secondly, I believe we can know we've grown when we no longer depend on encouragement from others to remain faithful. Now, you know, it might be fine to look at a little baby and say, oh, look, he took his first step. Oh, you're doing good. Take another step. And as a result of that encouragement, that child may continue to take a step after step until he or she can walk. But you know, if I, in spiritual matters, have to be encouraged by you in order to grow or to attend or to become involved in the work of the church, there's something wrong. If you have to brag on people to get them to come to the assembly, there's something wrong. If you have to pat them on the back and say, oh, you're doing a great job, in order to keep them interested in the cause of Christ, I believe, again, that is the wrong approach. Such statements as, well, you know, nobody ever speaks to me, nobody ever invites me out to their house, or no one ever tells me what's going on, indicate a lack of growth or progress in developing the firm foundation of Christ. Irrespective of what other people do to me or for me, has nothing to do with the fact that I need to grow and I need to become strong and faithful in serving the Lord. Every newborn often feels a lack of support and attention. Little children want attention. Look at little children. If they do take a step, they want someone to brag on them. If they do something they've been asked to do, they want someone to commend that. If our service to God depends on whether you commend me or not, there's something wrong. I'm not growing like I should. If I have to be told every time I've done something, that's a good job. You need to keep it up. The growth process moves beyond this stage. We all learn independence and self-motivation by taking up the duties of being a Christian. We're no longer dependent on others for our growth or for our survival because we've taken an interest in our own development. I'm concerned about how much I know, how much I do, irrespective of how much you may or may not do. We're told in the Bible to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And we give evidence in growth as a result of the word because it nourishes us and it causes growth. While it is good, and I'm certainly not condemning that, while it is good to hear or have encouragement or to have association with other people from others, our growth actually comes from assimilating the Word of God and the message of God's Word into action in our life. My growth will not come from you saying you did a good job. My growth will not come from you saying you're fine. My growth comes from taking God's Word, putting it in my heart, in my life, and causing me to become what the Lord wants me to become. I'd also suggest to you tonight, and I think it's very important, we can know we've grown when we learn to control our tongue. We can know we've grown when we don't say things we shouldn't say. You know, we're taught to bridle the tongue, according to James 1 and verse 26. If a man thinks himself to be religious while he bridles not his tongue but deceives his heart, James said this man's religion is vain. In Colossians 13 and verse 8, But now do you also put away all anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking, filthy communication out of your mouth. A filthy mouth, of course, reveals a filthy heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, Matthew 12 and verse 34. Gossip or tale-bearing has always been an awful menace to society, and God has legislated against it. We live in a world today, if you ever watch the evening news, they pick up on every little morsel or indication they have in order to try and charge someone with believing a certain thing or doing something. A lot of what you hear on the news is not the truth anymore. It's just that simple. Sometimes you're treated every night to information that really isn't solid or good. The Bible plainly says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. You can know you've grown when you leave that alone. You can know you've grown when you refuse to carry tales that are not true or that you do not know may be the truth. He that goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is faithful of a faithful spirit conceals a matter, Proverbs 11 and verse 13. You know, we all know that gossip alienates friendships. According to Proverbs 16 and 28, a whisper separates friends. And that's what some people try to do. They try to separate friends by whispering what they've heard or what someone has told them might be the case. It is possible for gossip to cause a run on a bank or to divide a church or break up a family It can ruin a reputation and shatter the happiness of innocent people. He that goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, company not with him that opens wide his lips. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. In James 1 and verse 19, but let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath, indicating that we need to be careful of saying something on the spur of the moment that might be wrong or might be misleading. Whoso keeps his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Proverbs 21 and verse 23. And so we all need to measure our words wisely, and you can know you've grown when you reach the point in life that you do that, that you don't repeat what you don't know for sure is the truth, and you don't become guilty of telling tales that are wrong. Angry words, the Bible declares, excite strife. But let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. James 1 and verse 19. You can know you've grown when you're very careful about what you say and you don't fall into the pitfall of saying things later you regret. Whoso keeps his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Proverbs 21 and verse 23. In Proverbs 15 and 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a grievous word stirs up anger. You can destroy a church, a marriage. You can destroy a friendship by saying things that are hasty, things that are wrong, and things that tend to divide rather than bring about unity and happiness. As we grow in Christ, we learn to control our tongue. The more you grow as a child of God, the more able you are to be careful about what you say and what you do. We all know that friendships have been destroyed and churches have been torn apart and souls simply lost because too many times people have failed to grow in this area, and instead of being careful about what they say, they just speak their mind. Sometimes I hear people say, well, you know me, I just say what I think. That's not always wise. It's not always good. And many times it's evidence of the fact that we have not grown spiritually like we should. I also believe that we can know we've grown when we have learned to follow after the things that make for peace. How long will it take us to realize that in a period of peace and prosperity, we're able to grow the cause of Christ and we're able to reach the souls of men and women who are lost in sin? Unfortunately, some people seem to be bent on destroying the peace and unity of the body of Christ. Determined to have their own way, they spare no word or effort in order to get what they want, regardless of how much damage it does. There's nothing worse in this world that I know of anyway than church trouble. And it's easy to stir up church trouble. It's easy to get people all riled up and headed in the wrong direction. It's easy to divide the body of Christ. And I can tell you, you're not growing very much if you become involved in that kind of endeavor. Peace is often destroyed by a contentious spirit. The Bible declares as coals are to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to inflame strife. Wood to fire just means pour more wood on the fire and it's going to grow. We know also that peace is destroyed by vengeance or getting even with people. We all have to live and associate with imperfect people. I don't know anybody today that's perfect. I'm not, you're not either. You may think you are, but we're all imperfect. And as a result of that, we need to recognize our relationships with other people can often go in the wrong direction because of the imperfection that is a part of all of us. It's not unusual to feel that at times we've been wronged. And it's not unusual for people to get their feelings hurt. It's not unusual for people to say things and you may take it the wrong way. It's easy to say things that we shouldn't say and walk away with the wrong idea about what has gone on. But even when it's true, we should never seek retribution, but rather we should leave it with the Lord. If I was guilty tonight of everything that's been told about me, I'd be a much worse person than I really am. And I think that's true of a lot of people. Sometimes things are told that have no basis or foundation whatsoever, and they spread like wildfire because that's the kind of things people like to tell. Well, you can know you've grown when you leave that alone. You can know you've grown when you say to yourself, that may be true, but why do I want to get involved in it? Why do I want to tell it? Why do I want to spread it? In Romans 12 and verse 19, Paul said, avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place rather to wrath. Give place unto the wrath of God. For it is written, Vengeance belongs to me, saith the Lord, and I will repay. You know, there are a few things that the Bible plainly says belong to God. Vengeance is one of them. Vengeance belongs to God. Leave it with Him. Don't try to get even with everybody who mistreats you. Don't try to get even with people who tell things on you that are not true. Let the Lord take care of that. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Many times an unholy ambition for power and preeminence causes people to divide and to do things that are wrong. Such an attitude leads to conflicts, both major and minor, and it leads to untold strife and struggles in the church. Your 3 John, verse 9, I wrote somewhat unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receives us not. And so many times we don't grow to the point that we're able to deal with difficulties and problems without becoming irate and mad and upset and trying to take over the church and do what we think is the right thing to be done. Bitterness, wrath, and anger, they're all evil traits, and they belong to someone who's failed to grow spiritually. And often the cause is, of course, strife and contention. Paul said in Ephesians 4, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and railing be put away from you with all malice. I believe when you've grown, or when you're growing, you know how to develop an unselfish spirit. And you reach a point where you're not necessarily offended by everything you hear. And you don't just fall to pieces when someone passes information to you that's disappointing. We know, of course, in the case of Abraham and Lot, that Abraham was willing to give the best pasture to his nephew. He said, "You go. We've got a problem between the people that are working for us, and we don't need that. There's a lot of land here. We've got a lot of cattle. You go to the left or to the right. Whichever you choose, I'll take what's left." I can tell you, you can know you've grown when you're willing to take what's left. You can know you've grown when you reach the point that you don't always have to be first. You don't always have to be recognized. You don't always have to be popularized. You don't always have to be someone who is in the forefront. When you practice the golden rule, whatsoever therefore you would that men do to you, do you even so to them, you've grown. You've grown to the point that you're able to return good for evil. But if your enemy hungers, feed him, and if he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon his head, Romans 12 and verse 20. A spirit easily entreated is an indication of growth. A spirit easily entreated is an indication of growth. I talk with people sometime who fly off the handle. And they say things that I'm sure if they really want to serve the Lord, they're ashamed of. And they often do things that later on they'd give anything if they hadn't done them. And so we need to develop within all of us this spirit of being easily entreated. And I can tell you, when you can walk away from a volatile situation without becoming involved in it and saying something you're going to be sorry for tomorrow, you can know you've grown. You can know you're growing toward that stature in Christ where we all desire to be. Did you ever dread to talk to someone because you were afraid of how they would respond? Well, I believe every Christian should have a yielding disposition, easy to be entreated in all matters of opinion. I also believe you can know you've grown when you forget the hurts of the past and you're able to forgive. We've all heard things we wish we never had. We've all done things we wish we'd never done. We've all been caught in situations we wish really had never existed. But when you reach the point in life that you can forgive those involved who may have wronged or hurt you, you're really growing up. You're really reaching that point in Christ where you're able to overlook many of the difficulties that come our way simply because you have a greater desire to serve Him and you have a greater desire to see the church grow. Let me say one thing very briefly. You can know you've grown when you learn how to fight Satan. And I ask you tonight, do you really know how to fight the devil? Have you ever sat down and came up with a plan to fight the devil? Have you ever thought about overcoming the devil? We know that Jesus in Matthew 4 We know that his encounter with Satan allowed him to show the spirituality that existed within him. Matthew 4, verse 1 through 11. You know how he did that? He did that by knowing the scripture. Every time the devil said something to him, Jesus said, "It is written." You can know you've grown, my friend, when you learn to quote the Bible, when you learn to talk to people about their soul, and when they're saying and doing things that are wrong, when you can come back with a "thus saith the Lord" instead of "I think, I wish, I know, who do you think you are, I'm older than you, or I've been here longer than you have." When you come back with all that, that's an indication you haven't grown very much. But when you can take God's word and correctly apply it, you can, like a newborn babe, having desired the sincere milk of the word, you have grown thereby.